The altar of Slobodka, Reb Noson Zvi Finkel, was one of the great spiritual personalities of the century. He was the one who, in his role as the spiritual supervisor, the Mashgiach of the great Slobodka Yeshiva in Lithuania, was the one who trained such personalities as Reb Aaron Kotler, Reb Yankiv Kamenetsky, Reb Yaakov Yitzchak Ruderman, Reb Reuven Grzovsky, and Reb Yitzchak Kuttner, Secher Tzadikim Livrocha, five of the greatest Torah personalities in the history of American Judaism, and the ones who, in the aftermath of World War II, were the most instrumental, as a group certainly, in transforming the American viewpoint concerning Torah education, concerning higher yeshiva learning, concerning kollel life. And indeed, they were the ones who laid the foundations and who raised the current generation of American Torah leaders. And the one who made them what they were was the Alter of Slobodka. And he once said, in speaking about this time of year, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, the days of soul-searching, the days of repentance, he once said that our mission during this time of the year is not to make ourselves better, it's to make ourselves different. The Tachlis, he said, is nicht sich zu machen besser, nor man darf sich anders machen. Now what does that mean? It's the sort of pithy statement that at first sounds strange, and then when you think about it, it sounds so obvious, so simple, that you wonder, why didn't you think of it yourself? And what it means simply is this. If all we're trying to do is to make ourselves better, then actually we're remaining what we are. We're not really changing anything. We're just improving and having more of the same. But you don't make great accomplishments by merely conserving the present, by merely living with your own personal past. The only way you accomplish big things is by transforming yourself, by looking for total change, by making yourself into a different person. And actually, this is the goal of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. This is the goal of the days of awe, the days of judgment. Lev Chodosh, the Pasuk speaks about, a new heart. Not just a heart that beats a little bit better, that beats a little bit more strongly, but a new heart. How do we do this? Exactly what's called for? Well, in trying to answer this question, let's look at the Akedah. When Avraham Avinu was called upon to bring his only son, not his only biological son, Yishmael was his biological son too, but his only true son, as the Torah says, Es bincha es yechidcha es Yitzchak, your son, your only son, Yitzchak. Ki v'Yitzchak yikoret l'cha zora. Only Yitzchak will be considered your true offspring. And Avraham Avinu was given this awesome test of taking Yitzchak and binding him to an altar and slaughtering him as a burnt offering. And this is the leitmotif of Rosh Hashanah. The shofar of Rosh Hashanah reminds us of the Eloi shel Yitzchak, the horn of the ram, which was substituted for Yitzchak. We constantly recall this test of Avraham Avinu in our Rosh Hashanah prayers. So let's look at the Akedah. And let's begin with a question that was asked by the Kotzker Rebbe. Kotzker says, you know, in the Asorah Nisyonos, in the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu, foremost among them is Akedas Yitzchak. And of course it was a test. What could be a greater challenge to someone's faith in God, to someone's love of God, than the commandment to slaughter his one and only beloved son, the son for whom he had waited for more than a lifetime? Avraham Avinu was 100 years old when Yitzchak was born. And here Yitzchak was, 37 years of age, in the prime of life, not yet married, no children, his whole future was ahead of him. And Avraham is called upon to put a sudden, bloody end to all of that. Of course it's a test. But the Kotzker asked, Why is this regarded as a test of Avraham Avinu, primarily? Why don't we regard it as a test of Yitzchak? Yitzchak was the one who would be called upon to give up his life. Avraham Avinu would walk away, a sad, tragic man, but he would walk away from it. Yitzchak wouldn't. Yitzchak was the one who'd be giving up his life. He'd be demonstrating his love of God, his loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why do we speak of it primarily as the test of Avraham Avinu? And the Kotzker said, you know why? Because the Torah says, V'hu Elokim Nisa es Avraham. Because the Torah says that it was primarily a test of Avraham Avinu. Strange. It's one of these cases where the answer is more difficult than the question. And the answer doesn't even deal with the question. That is our question. Why is it a test of Avraham Avinu? And you're telling me because the Torah says so. Why does the Torah consider it that? The Altar of Nevaradok, Rabbi Yosef Yoizel, the one who founded the great network of Yeshivas Beis Yosef in Europe before the war, said that the Akedah was a greater test for Avram than it was for Yitzchak, because Yitzchak was called upon to die as a Jew, and Avraham was called upon to live as a Jew. And it's harder to live as a Jew sometimes than it is to die as a Jew. Let's examine that for a moment. You know, the most coveted military medal in the United States is the Congressional Medal of Honor. And until the Vietnam War, when for political reasons and reasons of morale and public relations, many hundreds and hundreds of congressional medals were awarded, until then, it was a very rare honor. And you know what you had to do to win a Congressional Medal of Honor? You had to risk your life, perform great acts of valor and heroism, and primarily, you had to do it to save the lives of others. You had to risk your own life to save the lives of others. And almost without exception, the people who won congressional medals were people who did that. And who were they? Almost by definition, when you're speaking about men on the battlefield who were showing that kind of courage, you're speaking about young soldiers. Senior officers don't risk their lives because they're not in the line of fire. It almost never happens. So you're speaking about young men. You're speaking about people who were 18 years old, 19, 20, up to the age of 25 perhaps, who have performed great acts of valor, and who have risked their own lives, and probably in most cases, the Congressional Medal has been won posthumously. The people who did that died in the course of saving others. And they're young. For the most part, they're draftees. They're people who are not well educated, people who probably never made great successes of their lives before that. You know, the kind of people that if you're walking down the street and you meet them around the corner candy store or the pool parlor or in the parking lot of a shopping center, you'd turn the other way. You'd be afraid to meet them. And these are the people who perform great acts of heroism. So you have people who are hardly the paragons of society doing something which is as noble as anything you can imagine, as unselfish as anything you can imagine. How is that possible? How do people do that? They do. We have things that make us act on instinct. The adrenaline flows. And we'll do things. We'll risk our lives. People can summon up enormous strength on the spur of the moment. And then you have someone like Avraham Avinu. He's given 3 days' notice. He's given 3 days to walk with Yitzchak. For 3 days, Avram can ponder and think about what he's about to do. And Avraham Avinu was Midas HaChesed. Avraham Avinu was a person who lived through Chesed. He lived through kindness, through bringing other people under the wings of the Shekhinah, inviting them into his home, being their host, feeding them, washing them, and then telling them, don't be grateful to me, be grateful to the one who created me. Avram's whole way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu was through kindness, through winning the friendship and trust of people. And now, he, whose whole life was devoted to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has 3 days to stop, think, what will happen to me? I'll go. I'll sacrifice Yitzchak. If that's what I'm called upon to do, I'll do it. And then I'll turn around and climb back down the mountain and go home and invite guests into my home. And what will they say? Crazy old man. He killed his own son. And now he wants us to come and share his hospitality. If he could do that to his own son, he'll do the same thing to us. And Avram, who had devoted his life to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and preaching to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want human sacrifice, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants kindness, that he wants charity, that he wants hospitality, Avram Avinu's life, in the eyes of the world, would have become a lie. And he would have to climb back down the mountain and make his way through as many years as he had left to live. Yitzchak was the person who represented Gevura, inner strength. He could bring himself to do it. And that's what the altar of Nevarduk meant when he said, Yitzchak was called upon to die as a Jew, but Avram was called upon to live as a Jew. Yitzchak would be called upon for a momentary act of self-sacrifice. People do that. People who are far, far inferior to a Yitzchak do that. They do it all the time. But Avram Avinu would have to keep on living. Avram Avinu would have to live as a Jew. Could he summon the self-sacrifice to do that? And that's why it's called the test of Avram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Avram Avinu. To Yitzchak, this was less of a nisoyon because of the kind of person he was, because of the very nature of the act and the very nature of the man. Yitzchak could bring himself to do that. But Avram? For Avram, this was an enormous test, because Avram was the man of chesed. And Avram's whole manner of service would be called into question, and he'd have to go on living, and he'd have to go on performing when the world would ridicule him and laugh at him. So it was the test of Avram Avinu, and not so much the test of Yitzchak. There's a Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash says that as Avram was walking with Yitzchak on the way to Har HaMoriah, on the way to the Akedah, the Satan came and argued with him. Avram, how can you do it? He's your only son. You're giving up everything. And the Satan marshaled arguments against him. And finally, the Satan, the Medrash says, led him through a river until the water came up to his neck. And Avram said, Hoshia Hashem, kivo mayim ad nofesh. Help me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me, Hashem, for the water menaces our very lives. The water has reached a point where it's about to drown me. The Nitzel. And then he was saved. That's the Medrash. The Shloha Kodesh explains the Medrash. The Shloha says that water represents understanding. Torah Nimshul Amayim. Torah is likened to water. Water represents understanding. How could the Satan combat Avram Avinu? What would the Satan say? Don't obey God. Don't obey God? Who, Avram Avinu should not obey? Certainly not. The Satan couldn't get anywhere with that argument. So the Satan tried logic. The Satan appealed to Avram Avinu's bina, to his understanding. He's your only son. He's your heir. You waited a lifetime for him. He'll carry on your work. How can you do away with him? And that's the river. That's the river that the Medrash is speaking about. The Satan marshaled arguments against it. How can you do it, Avram? It must be a test. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't really want you to do it. You have to stop. You must stop. The world needs Yitzchak, and you need Yitzchak. And it reached a point where these arguments were so convincing, because, after all, the fact of the matter was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want Avram to slaughter Yitzchak. The truth is that he only wanted to see if Avram were ready to do it, if indeed that were the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. And so the Sultan's arguments really were convincing. And it reached a point where Avram Avinu said, Ribbono Shel Olam, help me, Hoshia Hashem ki vo'u mayim ad nofesh. The arguments of the Satan are about to drown me. It menaces my life. It menaces my emuna. It menaces my faith, because my faith is my life. V'nitzel, and then he was saved. You know what happened there? Avram Avinu reached a point of enormous challenge. He knew that he would have to go on living as a Jew. He knew that what he was being called upon to do and what he was advancing toward Har HaMoriah to do was the opposite of everything he had lived for, the opposite of everything that he had been teaching the world. He knew that. And how could he do it? How could he do something which was in direct contradiction to his whole life, in direct contradiction to his entire service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And it reached a point where Avram Avinu's understanding failed him. And he placed everything in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't know, but I want to serve you. And help me. Save me from this challenge to my emuna. Because I put my life in your hands. I put my understanding in your hands. And then, v'nitzel. Then he was saved. That was the greatest part of his test. Once he did that, then he was ready to go to Har HaMoriah. He was ready to prepare the altar. He was ready to pile up the firewood. He was ready to tie his son to the altar. Once he had done that, once he had reconciled himself to this simple fact, then the challenge had been won. And what was that simple fact? That simple fact was that whatever the world says, whatever logic says, these are the arguments of the Satan. But I put my faith and I put my belief in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me. You know, it's the old saying, don't confuse me with the facts, my mind is made up. Emunah is that way. Emunah, faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is that way. Don't confuse me with the facts. Don't confuse me with what the papers say, with what the correspondents, the journalists, the opinion makers say. Don't confuse me with what the medical tests say. Don't tell me something is impossible. Don't tell me it's impossible to live as a Jew. Don't tell me it's impossible to have faith when everything around me tells me that I'm insane to have faith. Don't confuse me with the facts, because my mind is made up. And my mind is made up to what? My mind is made up to the only true fact. My mind is made up to the real fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Creator. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the King. And that's the message of Rosh Hashanah. The message of Rosh Hashanah is, really, as the Alter of Slabodka said, don't be content to make yourself better, to remain what you are, but just to be a little bit better than you are. Now, that's not good enough. Be ready to change yourself. Be ready to fight what you see. Be ready to fight what people tell you. And be ready to convince yourself. And when you convince yourself, then you can begin convincing people around you, too. To convince yourself and to convince everyone that V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'oretz, v'yemahu yiyah Hashem echod, u'shmei echod. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is. Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the theme of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and beginning with Rosh Hashanah, is Malchus Shemayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is King, HaMelech HaKadosh, Malchiyos, in Shofreis, to proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is King. And only we can do that. You know, the first day of creation was not Rosh Hashanah. The first day of creation was the 25th day of Elul. Rosh Hashanah was the 6th day of creation. And what happened on Rosh Hashanah? Man was created. And the Shir Shel Yom, of the sixth day of the week, of Friday, of the day when man was created, is Hashem Moloch. And the Gemara says, why was that chosen? Because until then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not the king. It took the creation of man to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu king. Now let's stop and think about that. Strange. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not the king. He was the creator. There was no rival to him. He didn't have to fight it out with some other king. But the Gemara says, Bashishi Hoyu Aimrim, on the sixth day of the week, they, the Levim and the Beis Hamikdash, would say, Hashem Moloch Geyus Lovesh. Hashem will have reigned. He will have become king. Geyus Lovesh. He will have donned grandeur. And why? The Gemara says, why that mizmor? Why that psalm for the sixth day of the week? Al shem shegomer malachtoi umalach aleihem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed his labors of creation and he reigned over them. What makes somebody king? In the Hebrew language, there are two words that signify domination. There's melech, king, and moishel, tyrant, dictator, ruler. What's the difference between the two? The Vilna Gaon explains, the difference is this. A moishel, a ruler, tyrant, is someone who overpowers his subjects, someone who rules against their will, rules because he has the power to do it. Oh, and we know about moishlim like that all over the world. The world is full of petty dictators and major dictators, people who impose themselves on their people through sheer force. Sometimes it's force of personality. More often it's force of arms, it's force of fear. Melech, in the Hebrew language, melech denotes someone who rules, can be an absolute ruler just as well, but who rules with the consent, with the will of his people. They accept him as a ruler. David HaMelech was a melech. He was an absolute ruler, as absolute as any of today's dictators. And yet, his people wanted him as their king. His people accepted him as their king. Hashem Moloch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu became king on the sixth day. It wasn't enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created heaven and earth, that he created the angels, that he created the smallest bacteria, that he created from the biggest to the smallest, from the most powerful to the weakest. That's not what made him king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be a king where people, human beings, with freedom of choice, with the power to say, I believe, and the power to say, I don't believe, where such beings would proclaim him as their king. That was the purpose of creation. That's what Avraham Avinu did in his test. That's what we're called upon to do every Rosh Hashanah. At Kriyas Yamsuf, when the Sea of Reeds was split and Klal Yisrael was saved, and we all, led by Moshe Rabbeinu, all of us sang Shiro, and we all said, Hashem Yimloich li'olam voed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reign forever. Chazal tell us that if Klal Yisrael at that time had said, instead of Hashem Yimloich in the future tense, had said, Hashem Melech, Hashem is the king, then that would have been the complete tikkun. The world would have reached its stage of perfection. We would have received the Torah immediately. We would have gone into Eretz Yisrael. We would have built a Beis Hamikdash. There never would have been a golus. Never would have been an exile. Never would have been a destruction. The world would have reached the state which HaKadosh Baruch Hu hoped for it when he first created it. But we didn't. We didn't say Hashem Melech, Hashem is the king. We said Hashem Yimloch, Hashem will become the king. Well, why didn't we? Why didn't we? Just a matter of semantics? Well, why didn't we say the right word? And the answer is that it's not a matter of semantics. It depends on what a person really feels, what a person really perceives. If a person perceives that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king now, he is my king, I accept him, I choose him, I realize that he has the ultimate power, that there's none comparable to him. That's one thing. But most of us aren't that way. Even Klal Yisrael after Kriyas Yamsuf was not that way. Most of us, intellectually perhaps, can accept the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all-powerful, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, I would like to serve Him, I'd like to make myself better. Perhaps someday, I will transform myself. But for the moment, oh, I wish I could make myself a little bit better. That's Hashem Yimlech. Hashem will reign. Why didn't Klal Yisrael say Hashem Melech? Because they were honest with themselves. They were honest with themselves. They knew that at that moment, despite all that they had seen, despite all the miracles that they had experienced, and despite Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdei, they had faith. They had faith in Hashem, and they had faith in His servant Moshe. Nevertheless, they had not yet reached that peak, reached that zenith of human perfection, when they could say, Hashem Melech, we've gone as far as we can. We have transformed ourselves to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is King and we're His servants, and we accept His kingship and we accept our role to serve Him. And now we're on the threshold of Yom HaDin. We're on the threshold of Yom HaDin, and we have to transform ourselves. And you know what we have to do? Take a look at the newspapers, listen to the radio broadcast, read the magazines, see what the wise men say. You know when? Not what they say today. Read what the wise men said a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, and see how often they've been proven wrong. See how many times the impossible has happened and how many times the inevitable has not happened. And listen to how they use words to twist the truth. Listen to them saying that Zionism is racism, that Israel is an aggressor state. Listen to them saying that Orthodox Jews want power and that they're selfish, and all they want is political power. And when they speak about the definition of a Jew, or when they speak about the holiness of Yerushalayim, and when they cry out against filth and obscenity and Chilul Shabbos in Yerushalayim, that all they want is power to create a theocracy that they themselves will rule. Listen to all of this. Listen to the wise men. Listen to how they twist the truth. And go back a year and 5 and 10 years and see how often they've been wrong. And then try to make some sense out of history. And if we can do that honestly and profoundly and sincerely, then we begin to realize that indeed Hashem Moloch, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimlech Li'olam Voed, we can begin to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Creator, that the world doesn't just spin around out of control on its axis. It was created for a purpose. And we are that purpose. We are that purpose because we're the nation of Torah and we have to accept the Torah. And this is the time of the year when we have to think about it. This is the time of the year when destiny has to make a difference to us, because we have to create our destiny. And we know what our destiny is, if only we're willing to see the truth. And our destiny is spelled out in the Torah. This is the time of year when we're called upon to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our King. We're called upon to transform ourselves. We're called upon to look ourselves in the mirror and say, hey you, who will you believe? Will you believe the people who pervert creation? The people who try to tell you that creation is eat, drink, and be merry, and that's what freedom is? Or will you believe the one and only, who tells you that Ein Lach Ben Chayrin Ela Misha Isaac B'Torah? There's only one freedom, and that's the freedom to do what you were created to do, and that's the freedom to do what your soul wants you to do. That's the message of Rosh Hashanah. And let's hope that with God's help, and with our own powerful desire, we'll be able to say, Baruch Atah Hashem, HaMelech HaKodesh.